Let's all stand. We'll just read one verse tonight. Philippians chapter 3 and verse 13, the Bible says, "Brethren, I count not myself to have apprehended, but this one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind and reaching forth unto those things which are before." Let's have a moment of prayer. Brother Mike Freymeyer, lead us in prayer, please.
Dear Heavenly Father, we do thank you again for the opportunity to be here to worship you tonight, to hear from your word. Pray now that you would be with Pastor Dave, just give him the exact words that you would have for him to preach and for us to hear. Help us to open our hearts, open our ears to receive what you have for us tonight. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Amen. Thank you. You may be seated. I took you down that little stroll down Amnesia Lane because I wanted you to think with me for a moment. We tend as people to live in our past. We tend as people to live in the things that we have done, not the things that are set before us. We tend to wish that we were back in the day. We tend to wish that we were back in the golden age or back in the times when times weren't so crazy. We tend to wish that we were back in a day when things like this were important and things that we have now are really not that important. We wish that we lived in those times, and I'm going to be honest with you, it begins to muddy the memories that we really do have. I want you to turn to Exodus chapter 16 and verse 3, and I'm going to challenge you to live in the only thing that you're guaranteed, and that is right now. I'm going to challenge you to live there because I want you to remember what has happened in your past that you were saved from, and I want you to apply it to your life for your future. The reason I say these things is I don't want your memories to become so muddy that you start spinning out in your memories and aren't able to do anything with your present. We look toward a future bright and grand out there at the church property, but I'm going to be honest with you, not one person in this room is guaranteed that future. I believe that the Lord wants us to be out there, and I believe very soon a building is going to go up out there, but I also do very much believe that I'm not guaranteed to see it. The Lord could take my life while I'm preaching. The Lord could take my life walking down these steps to go out. The Lord could take your life driving home tonight. There is nothing we're guaranteed. All we're guaranteed is right now. But I want to challenge you to not live in your past for a couple of different reasons. And I'm going to hit this from two different sides. And it may sound like I'm contradicting myself, but you'll see at the end that I'm trying to get you to spur your thinking towards what are we doing now? If you look at Exodus chapter 16, the Bible says in verse 3, "And the children of Israel said unto them, Would to God we had died by the hand of the Lord in the land of Egypt, when we sat by the flesh pots, and when we did eat bread to the full, for ye have brought us forth into this wilderness to kill this whole assembly with hunger." Look at the stupid statement that Israel makes there. The stupid statement that they say, "I would to God we lived back in the day when we were in bondage." I have had Christians tell me, "If this is being saved, it's not all it's cracked up to be, because my life is worse now than it ever was before I got saved." I want you to grab your Bible and show me somewhere in here where the Lord guarantees you great life here. It's not in here. He promises to fulfill your needs. He promises to equip you for what you're supposed to do. Nowhere in the Bible does it say he's going to take your burdens away. Nowhere in the Bible does it say he's going to make your life a bed of roses. Matter of fact, he says your life's going to have tribulation. He says your life's going to have persecution. And one day, glory to God, Brother Mike, we are going to step into eternity and then everything will be removed. We're going to go into eternity and we'll walk those streets of gold where there's going to be no more suffering, no more pain, no more torment. But that's not today. We look at our past and we look at the time that we had in our life, and sometimes it gets to the point where I would to God I could go back. But I'm going to be honest with you, can any of us truly go back? I want you to think with me. "And the children of Israel said unto them, Would to God we had died by the hand of the Lord in the land of Egypt, when we sat by the flesh pots and when we did eat bread to the full, for ye have brought us forth into this wilderness to kill this whole assembly with hunger. I want you to turn back to Exodus 2. I'm going to give you a little bit of history that you already know, but I want you to think with me for a moment. Israel got brought into the land of Goshen where they multiplied exceedingly. Finally, Pharaoh got afraid of how big the nation was. I'm summing up here, obviously. Eventually, this Pharaoh says, I'm going to yoke those people. I'm going to make them my slaves so they can do things for me, do my bidding, make my bricks, do all those things. And I want you to see what the children of Israel finally said in Exodus chapter 2, and we're going to look at verse 23. And it came to pass in the process of time that the king of Egypt died, and the children of Israel sighed by reason of the bondage. And they cried, and their cry came up unto God by reason of the bondage. God heard their groaning, and God remembered his covenant with Abraham, with Isaac, and with Jacob. And God looked upon the children of Israel, and God had respect unto them. Doesn't sound like it's all real nice there, does it? If you look in these verses, do you see flesh pots? If you look in these verses, do you see sitting around the campfire and eating all the onions and garlic and leeks that were provided? Do you see stunning stories of how fish by the abundance came to the children of Israel here? No, what you see is groaning being in slavery. What you see is people that are upset and oppressed. That's what you see. Look at chapter 3 and verse 7. The Bible says, and the Lord said, I have surely seen the affliction of my people which are in Egypt and have heard their cry by reason of their taskmasters. For I know their sorrows. I just read to you in Exodus chapter 16 how the people were saying, would to God we'd be back in Egypt. Right here in verse 7 of chapter 3 it says, would to God we'd be out of here. Is that not right? Look over in chapter 5 of Exodus. Starting in verse 5, the Bible said, and Pharaoh said, behold, the people of the land now are many, and ye make them rest from their burdens. And Pharaoh commanded the same day the taskmasters of the people and their officers, saying, ye shall no more give the people straw to make brick as heretofore. Let them go and gather straw for themselves. They're doubling the workload and taking away the straw. And the tail of the bricks which they did make heretofore, ye shall lay upon them. Ye shall not diminish aught thereof, for they be idle. Therefore they cry, saying, let us go and sacrifice to our God. The people wanted to go sacrifice. They had time off. They had filled the tail of bricks. They had become very good at it. And because they had come so good at it, the official decides to come in and say, because you're so good, we're tired of delivering straw unto you. Now we're going to go ahead and make you go get your own straw. That way you don't have any time left on your hands because you're idle. You're sitting around bored. We want to go sacrifice. Doesn't matter if what you want to do. I want you to make more bricks for me. And that'll take a little bit of pressure off of my people. You go out and you gather all this to yourselves. Doesn't that sound to me like they were having a great time? Could you say amen? It does not sound to me like it was fun that they were having. Verse 9 says, let their more work be laid upon the men, that they may labor therein, and let them not regard vain words. And the taskmasters of the people went out, and their officers, and they spake to the people, saying, thus saith Pharaoh, I will not give you straw. Go ye, get you straw where ye can find it, yet not aught of your work shall be diminished. So the people were scattered abroad throughout all the land of Egypt to gather stubble instead of straw. And the taskmasters hasted them, saying, fulfill your works, your daily tasks, as when there was straw. And the officers of the children of Israel, which Pharaoh's taskmasters had set over them, were beaten and demanded, wherefore have ye not fulfilled your task in making brick both yesterday and today as heretofore? Then the officers of the children of Israel came and cried unto Pharaoh, saying, wherefore dealest thou thus with thy servants? There is no straw given unto thy servants. And they say unto us, make brick, and behold, thy servants are beaten, but the fault is in thine own people. But he said, ye are idle. Ye are idle. Therefore ye say, let us go and do sacrifice to the Lord. Go therefore now and work. Does he sound sympathetic? Does he sound like he's prepared a great meal for them? Does he sound like he's, you know what, I understand. Don't make as much brick as you were before. Did he say that to those people? He did not say that to those people. Go therefore now and work, for there shall no straw be given you, yet shall ye deliver the tale of bricks. And the officers of the children of Israel did see that they were in evil case, after it was said, ye shall not minish aught from your bricks of your daily task. Now I want to fast forward here. I preached a couple of weeks ago about bitterness. I preached about how they came to a place called Marah. The waters were bitter. That was right after they got out of the land of Egypt. They just got through the Red Sea, saw God do great miracles. You must understand that people were slaves in Egypt and they got to see the plagues. They knew what was going on. They knew how mighty God's hand was. Good Lord, they still were talking about it in Acts. How mighty God's hand was, bringing them out of Egypt. This was something that was told down through the ages, how mighty God's hand was. They were walking through the wilderness, being disobedient, murmuring people. And the minute something bad came along, the first thing they said, brother, I wouldn't to God that we'd go back and die in Egypt where the leeks and the food was. I would to God we'd go back there because out here, all God is giving us is hunger. He provided them manna. Now, I don't know what that tasted like, but you know what? God doesn't make junk. He did not send down meatloaf cakes. He sent down manna. The people walked through the wilderness, and all they had to do, they didn't have to plant it. They didn't have to cultivate it. They didn't have to go throughout the wilderness and gather it out of the ground. All they had to do is wake up in the morning, and there it was. They went out and collected. I think that's a providing God. To me, isn't that a miracle? Isn't that wonderful? What did they do after a while? They complained about the manna. They complained about the manna. They would to God they could go back because they aren't getting any flesh to eat. Would to God we could go back to Egypt where we were beaten. Would to God we could go back to Egypt where we were in bondage. Would to God we would go back to Egypt because that's where our past was. I would to God we could go back in the past because there we were taken care of. Is that true? They were being utilized as slaves in Egypt. Were we any different when we were in sin? You're still sinners. But if you're in this room and you're saved today, the Lord looks at you as though you've never sinned. He looks at you as though you're perfect. He looks at you as you're white as snow. He looks to you, glory to God, and he sees the blood of his son. And he said, man, there's going to be a day when I call Brother Mark Thompson up to heaven and he's going to walk these streets of gold. And God was very satisfied with his sacrifice. And I'm telling you right now, there's going to be a day when we get to have no more heartache, no more sorrow, no more tears. And I wonder if there's going to be a person when we get up there and says, man, I would to God we could go back. I would to God it was as it once was in my past. You know, it's funny. I make this statement a lot because it's true, especially for guys. The older I get, I like this. Now you need to hear this. The older I get, the better I was. I had a lifetime of sports. I grew up playing sports. And let me tell you something. The older I get, man, every year I was better than I used to be. I really wasn't that great that I thought I was. You ever go back to the old slide in the playground that you used to believe was 75 feet tall? And you go back and you're taller than it now? You ever go back to the spot where you beat up the bully. Turns out it was his sister. You know?
I've done that.
Yeah, but last week doesn't count. Why, when the Bible talks about lay aside every weight and the sin with which doth so easily beset us, has got to be talking about your past. Because it's the past that put the weight on you. It's the past that was there. It's the past that that's where you lived in sin. I'm going to use myself as an example because I'm such an easy target. It took me a long time to give up music. Why? Because that was part of my past. And as you come up and come up and come up, listen to me. This is the truth. This is, in my opinion, and I believe this to be true, convictions are not for everybody. They're for you and God. What you're convicted over, God needs to convict you. I need to be convicted over things that you don't need to be convicted over. I have shortcomings that you do not have. Not all of these convictions are written out in the Bible, thou shalt not. But God tells you things. God tells you things in your heart that you ought not do that. That is destroying your life. Why? Because it's a weight and a sin that does so easily beset you. And if you continue doing those things, this is what's going to happen. Why do you do them? Because it's part of your past. And you keep reliving the parts of your past that felt comfortable to you, that felt good to you, that felt nice to you. And those are the things that you look towards sometimes. And I'm going to be honest with you. The people of Israel at this time in Egypt were saying, man alive, I remember the fish. I remember the leeks. But I'm going to be honest with you, weren't their memories just a little muddied? Weren't their memories just a little cloudy of what Egypt really was? We look back to the good old days, and I've got to be honest with you, my days weren't that good and old. I was a drunkard. That's nothing to brag about. That's horrible. I put my life through the ringer when I was a kid. I don't want to go through that anymore. I don't want to go back to those old days. What, they got to go back and play high school football? No, because everything that went along with that was part of my life as well. Don't let your past become greater than it really was. I listen to dirty, rotten rock music, and it's dirty and it's rotten, and you can argue with me all you want. It's amazing. Oh, my goodness, what's amazing is you can't get those lyrics out of the anals of your mind. Music doesn't affect me, Brother Rod, but I can just about tell you every lyric to every rock song from my era. Why? Because the devil's good at making you memorize. Oh, well, that's dumb. That's just old Baptist preacher preaching. I bet you I could take somebody my age in this room, recite the first three words to a couple songs. Yeah, I know what that is. Was that a good part of our past? I've got three things. When you live in your past and you make the past different than it was. Now, this is where it's going to contradict some. I don't believe, the Bible says, the first verse that we read, forgetting those things which are behind. If I remember right, forgetting is a process that doesn't take place immediately. Forgetting is something that takes time. It's a process of time where you want to change your life and get rid of what you used to be. Good Lord, I used to have hair down to the middle of my back. I don't think you'd like that anymore. If I came up here with hair down to the middle of my back, you may fire me. You can say amen because you would. You ought to. Any guy up here with sissy hair, you got to get rid of him. I don't want to go back to that past. Does that mean that right now is easy? As a matter of fact, it may be harder. But I'm going to tell you right now, I don't want to be part of what the world used to make me. I don't want to be part of who I was. I want to be part of who God has made me. I want to be part of what God has for me. And I want to remember where God has brought me from. I don't want to forget that. I just don't want to make it better than it was. I don't want to make the past sound great to these teenagers. I don't want to make my past sound like I had a great time. Oh, man, glory to God, listening to all the rock music, dirty rotten rock music, and going to drunkard concerts and crashing our cars and beating people up. Whoa, what a great life that was. Wow, that was horrible. I don't ever want you to think that was good. I want to remind you of what the Lord has taken me from. It's not so bad being out in the wilderness being fed with manna when you were a slave at one time. Oh, they were complaining. Oh, they were complaining. And we do too. Complaining to work. Complain all the time. Good Lord, when I was a youth director, I bless your heart. When I was a youth director, boy, youth directors get tore up. No matter what you say is wrong, you can't win. Mom and dad don't stand behind you because their precious child is untouchable. And what happens is this. You say, well, this ought not be. And the parent says, well, yes, it ought. And then when something happens bad, they come to you and say, where were you at? But I'd rather be doing that than what I used to be doing. I would rather be in the ministry 100 times over than ever going back to what I used to be. I would rather stay here and work for God than lend my life to the devil and let him keep me in bondage. And let me explain something to you. If you're living in that place right now where music's got control of you, alcohol's got control of you, this world's got control of you, you don't come to church because you don't like what the preacher says, you don't pray, you don't read your Bible, let me explain something to you. You're back in Egypt and the world's got you in bondage. You've got to break from that life. We can't sit up here and sissify that. We can't sit up here and sugarcoat that. We can't sugarcoat the fact that you got alcohol in your refrigerator. Boy, it went quiet in a hurry. Apparently we're partying at your house tonight. Well, I just keep it because I have friends that like to drink, and if I become all things to all people, then by all my means you might win some. And I just put out enough for their stomach. You dirty, rotten dog. You know how many verses you got to ignore to give somebody alcohol? I don't want to live in my past. I don't want to live where the devil had my whole heart and my whole soul. I don't want to live back there. I want to live right here. And it's not supposed to be easy. But it sure is a whole lot better. Three things. Israel forgot their focus. How many times have you lost focus to what we're really supposed to be doing here? How many times have you lost your focus because the Cleveland Indians stink? Come on. How many times have we lost our focus and our testimony because the Browns are never going to win? Just resign yourself to the fact that the Browns are not good and you'll be a lot better off. It's amazing. We can't say hallelujah or amen or praise the Lord in church, but I'm going to guarantee you, if it's a close game between the Browns and the Steelers, the Browns pull it out in the last second, you come in here, won't be able to talk because you're so hoarse. Tell me I'm wrong. Oh, I'm just so sick and tired of hearing that preacher yell. You're at the Cleveland game, go, go, Browns! Woo, 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 woo. I would to God some of you clowns would get on the TV when it passes through in those big dog masks. You're sitting there like this. And in church, you're... I don't see anywhere in the Bible where it says shout like that, preacher. I don't see anywhere. You'll hear the dirty, rotten rock songs come on the stinking, rotten TV screen. You sit there like this. Would to God you could go back, right? Times were easier then. No, they weren't. You were in bondage. You were slaves back then. You're saved now. Glory to God, we've got the whole life to look to, serving Christ. Man, it's good preaching. Thank you so much. We muddy the memories of our past, Brother Rod, because we want to make our past better than it really was. We forget where we've came from, and I'm going to be honest with you. If you really believe that, it cheapens what God has done. I'm going to say that again. If you make yourself better in your past than you really were, then you've cheapened what Christ has done for you. I was a dirty, rotten sinner. Still am a dirty, rotten sinner. The only difference is that Christ died for me. I can't make my past different than it was. Yeah, I was good at baseball. So what? What's that gotten me? Think about that for a minute. I'm now slow, busted up, my knees don't work. I can hit a softball. So what? Think about that for a minute. And I like playing games. Don't misread me. But do you see how excited and how competitive men get when they get crazy in sports? Good Lord have mercy. You'll bust people up to score a basket. But you won't knock on a door for soul winning? Boy, that's good preaching. Thank you, brother. You've been mean lately. I know that's what you're saying. Brother Dave, you've been mean. I thought sure you're going to talk about Christ sometime. Don't lose your focus on what we're here for. There's nothing wrong with those things going to a football game. Nothing wrong, unless it's 2 degrees below zero. Because I went to that game. Good night, that was dumb. There's nothing wrong with going to those games as long as you keep what you're doing in perspective and focus as what it should be. Are you going to go to that game and act like a Christian? And that's difficult, man. Or are you going to go to that game and act like the world? Don't lose your focus because of your past. Don't muddy your memories. Don't forget who you are. Second thing, they forgot. They forgot their fortitude. Israel had went through a lot. Think about that for a minute. They were slaves and they went through a lot, and now they expected God to give them everything. That's good preaching. I'm having fun. You may not be having fun, but I'm having fun. Why do I, Brother Kataiver, expect God to give me everything? Why do I, as a Christian, as soon as I get saved, well, God, why am I driving a hunk of junk car? God, now I'm saved. Why in the world am I not making twice as much money as I used to make? God, I'm saved now, and you should be taking care of me. It's amazing what God will do to you to put you through it just a little bit to make you realize that Jesus didn't stop halfway to Calvary. I said Jesus didn't stop halfway to Calvary. Jesus didn't stop when he got scourged and had the crown of thorns put in his head. Jesus didn't stop when they plucked out his beard and punched him in the face. Jesus didn't stop when he was spit upon. He didn't say, that's enough. Bobby Shell, not worth it. Oh, no. Oh, no. He said, there's a slave down there. There's a slave down there named Josh Sells. And unless I take the final step and let them pound the nails into my feet and into my hands, let them do all these things to gush out the blood of the Omnipotent One, unless I allow them to do this, Josh is going to remain a slave. Unless I, with my mighty hand, bring Israel out, unless I force the 10 plagues, unless I do the things that God is supposed to do, unless I do those things, Israel stays in bondage. Remember what you were brought out from and forget about that past and don't try to make it better than it was. We talk about the good old days, but were they so good? I'm going to be honest with you. My days are better now than they've ever been. Oh, I'm going through things, absolutely. But now I've got a friend. And that friend sticketh closer. Are there days that I want to quit? Sure. And if you'd be honest, there's days that you want to quit too. And to be real honest with you, at 7:10, you're probably wishing I'd quit right now. But I got one more to go, and we're in it for the long haul. Preacher told you he's going to preach 40 minutes to an hour, so I might as well just fill the slot. Amen. We think that once we get saved, it ought to be all laid out for us. And God does give us gifts along the way. I don't know if you noticed this or not, but I noticed it today. This man was brought to me as a gift. Brother Dave, you might be a little bit discouraged. I'm going to give you this young man to lead to me. Could you please lead? Man, it was really hard. Do you know the Lord's your Savior? No. Would you like to? Yes. Man, that's a good one. You don't have to try to con him into it. I didn't have to grab his arm and twist it or nothing. He was ready to be saved. I would to God we'd remember those things. I would to God we remember what God's done for us. I would to God that we remember the blessings that God has given us. And by the way, if God never blesses you, he did enough. I wonder if we ought to have the fortitude. You talk about people holding down faithful. It's the biggest joke. you can't hold down faithful enough to merit heaven. But glory to God, if you're supposed to be working for Him, why ought not we hold our fortitude and say, I'm going to be faithful. I'm going to do my best to come back to church. We had a packed out crowd this morning. Preacher pleaded with the people to come back. I didn't even make one call telling him he wasn't going to be here. I'm glad you folks came back, but where's the rest of the crowd? There's no fortitude. They've lost focus. They've lost what they're supposed to be doing, what they're supposed to do. The one service you miss, I just wonder, I'm just spitballing here and I'll move on to the next point. I'm just wondering if the one service that you miss happens to be the one that you needed. What happens is this, Brother Rod, there's times I don't want to come to church. The associate pastor doesn't want to come to church? Yeah, there's days that I'd like to stay in bed. There's days that I, you know what? Things are going bad and that's about enough. There's days like that. And if you'd be honest, Pharisees out there, there's days like that for you. But you know what's funny about those days? If I come to church that day, Brother Mike, you know what I'm going to say. I can see your eyes. Oh, he's about to say it. I know what he is. That's the days I'm the most richly blessed. I go home clicking heels. I go home excited. I go home and the Lord's given me a renewed spirit and a fervent spirit. Why? Because I had fortitude for just one more day. I had faith for just one more time. I had the ability to say, you know what, Lord, I know I don't feel like going, but I'm going to go anyhow, and I want you to bless me. When's the last time you came to church and said, preacher, I need to hear something from you today. I'm going to pray that the Lord will give me something wonderful from him. Did you pray that tonight before you came in? Please anoint Brother Dave that he can give me something from God tonight. Did you pray that? Because if you didn't pray that, how can you expect to come and get it? What happens is this. We come to church. I dare you to bless me. I'm going to sit right here. I'm going to make a face at you all night long. I get to preach at your ugliness all night. You look at me. You should have prayed before you walked. Church is not a spectator sport. You should have prayed before you came in here. Let Lord anoint. It's not me that you need to hear from. It's God that you need to hear from. Pray that the Lord speaks through me. Pray for the Lord to speak through your pastor. Pray for the Lord to give you something. And you know what? He just might. They forgot their focus. They forgot their fortitude. And the last one, they forsook their faith. They broke out of Egypt singing songs. Singing songs. Praise the Lord. Came out praising God. Amen. Amazing grace in Hebrew. Shouting hallelujah. Excited. And the minute they come into anything, the song is gone, and now the murmuring comes. They forsook the faith. They forsook the faith that Moses had to have to take them out. They forsook the faith that they had an almighty God to take care of them. I got to ask you a question. When's the last time God blessed you? I'm not talking Ernest Angley blessing where I got to hit you in the forehead and you fall down. I'm talking about when's the last time that you looked and you knew that that was God that did that? It doesn't have to be anything big. Do you know God doesn't work in the big things all the time? Matter of fact, the vast majority of the time, he works in the very little things. But we just don't give him credit for it because we don't recognize. We forsake the faith that we're supposed to have. We come into the church and we say, well, I'm faithful. Oh, I'm faithful. Oh, I'm faithful. But we don't see the faith put into action. We don't see in our lives, I'm talking about me too, we don't see the faith put into action because we don't even recognize when God is doing something. We aren't even looking for it. Man, the Lord has done something in your life somewhere. Find that. Good Lord, man, you might have something that comes into your life today on the way home that God has blessed you. And we forsake all that and say, well, he's not taking care of me good enough. He's just giving me manna when I want quail. But I've got to be honest with you. After a while, they didn't want the quail either, did they? What's next? In our lives, and I know this is simple. I wonder if we should be happy with the present. The Bible talks about be satisfied, yet hungry still. That's a tightrope line for a Christian to walk. You've got to be satisfied, content with what you have, yet still wanting more. But not wanting the things that you think you ought to be wanting. You ought to be wanting to get a closer relationship with your Lord. You ought to be wanting to get more into His Bible. You ought to be wanting to pray to Him more. You ought to be wanting your children to serve God. You ought to be wanting Bethel Baptist Church to go forward and win more souls. You ought to be wanting the baptistry waters to be moving. You ought to be wanting all these things to happen. And what do we want? I want my bills to be paid. All those things, in my opinion, are symptoms of God taking care of you. All the things that we ought to be hungry for are the things that God can do to further His kingdom. Why do you want a raise at work? Do you want a raise so your tithe goes up? You Baptist preachers are all alike, always talking about money. Do you want a raise at work so your tithe goes up? You know, the Lord might just give you a raise because of that. Well, you can get mad at me all you want to, but if you'd put money in this plate, the Lord might bless you once in a while. And I'm not for prosperity preaching, but glory to God, I'm not for robbing Him either. I'm not going to pass around Kentucky Fried Chicken buckets, bat my eyes with a pasty face and a nasty mullet up here for 2 hours just to make you believe that if you give, you're going to get. I'm going to tell you, though, if you're not giving your tithe and you're not giving your offering, you are a curse. I don't believe that. Take it up with the author. Well, you can get mad at me all you want to. And I know that this isn't popular preaching, but why are we living in our past? Why are we living back here making it look better than it was? Another part of this muddy thing that I'm talking about. Why are you using, and I'm almost done. I'm getting closer. Don't crink your neck. It's 7:20. Why do we let the mud spin our wheels of our past? Think about this for a minute. Why do we use the excuse of your past to not serve God? I told you I'd bring it from a couple different angles. Here's another angle. Why do we let our past stop us from serving God? Because of who I was or what I did, I can't serve Him. You show me that in the Bible anywhere. I tell this all the time to the people in the jail ministry. Paul wasn't your model citizen before he got saved. He was a murderer of Christians. I think David had some problems. I think he made some mistakes. God loved him. I don't think David's past had God tell him, you can't serve me now. He's not like churches. Boy, this is good preaching, isn't it? See, our churches can't wait to eat their week. God's not like that. God desperately wants people to serve Him. And don't sit there and tell me there's nothing I can do because of my past. No, you need to get out of your past and get in your present and let God use you. Oh, you were once a slave, but now you're free. Serve God. That's what you're supposed to do. Find God's will and do it. That's how you're going to be a success. I don't know how. Good, I didn't know either. But God will provide that for you. I don't know what I'm supposed to do. Good, I didn't either. But God knows what you're supposed to do. It's amazing to me how often we muddy the memories. We make it like this life isn't so good. If I could go back, I sure would change this. Yeah, I would too. There's a lot of things about my past I would change. But can I ask you a question? How much time should you spend on reminiscing about the things you wish you could change? Because I got a question for you. Can you change them? No. But what you can do from your past is learn from it. Learn from your past. Move forward in your past. The faith that you forsook years ago, don't forsake it anymore. Trust in God. Focus on God. Focus on the things that God would have you do. Why does our church have empty seats? Because we're not doing our job. We're not focusing on what we're supposed to be doing. When's the last time you invited somebody to church? Well, I would invite them, but Brother Dave's too loud. I would invite them, but my preacher spits and stutters a lot, and I think they'd be bored. I've got news for you. The Holy Spirit works through my pastor. Amen. I don't care what he sounds like, man. Amen. That man can preach. Yes. And when God is plugged into him and when he's plugged into God, you don't get a better preacher across the country. I don't care what you tell me. Amen. People used to get mad at me for saying that. What am I supposed to say? He's my dad. But he is a great preacher. And I'm going to tell you right now, why in the world wouldn't we want to bring people to a church that loves them, cares about them, dotes over them? We love our visitors. Good night in the morning. We clap hands for everything in this place. And the visitors come in and say, glory to God, we got a visitor today. What a beautiful church to come to. You're not going to get more love than in here. My thought is this, and this is what I want you to understand, and this, it all comes into this. You've got a future for you. Personally, just you, that God has ordained for you to have. But if we muddy the memories that we have and muddy the thought processes of focusing on Christ and having the faith that we need to have and letting Him provide for us, if we muddy that water, it's very difficult for us to serve God efficiently. I'm going to be honest with you. In my life, I've muddied a lot of the waters. I've used every excuse known to man to not serve God. I've used every excuse that I can think of to make it so I don't have to serve Him and I can still feel justified in my heart. But I've got to be honest with you. None of that, and this is the last thing I'll say. None of that will stand up before an almighty God. The excuses that I bring, that why I didn't talk to somebody, why I didn't do what I was supposed to do, why I wasn't content and happy with what the Lord has for me, why I wasn't seeking His will, the excuses that I'll have are not going to stand up to an almighty God. I want you to do this. Clear up the waters. Clear up the waters. Get out of that slavery past. That don't let that past hold you any longer. Don't let the things that you used to do that you can't seem to break away from, don't let that stop you anymore. Learn from it and go forward and serve God. I mean, go forward and serve God. Don't lose your focus on what you think you ought to have. Go forward and serve God and be grateful for what He's done for you. And then look along the way for things He's doing now. But good night in the morning, get out of the past. And let's go forward and serve God in clear waters. Let's bow our heads in prayer. Dear Lord, I thank You so much for the opportunity again to preach. Lord, I pray that You would take my life. Take my life and let me loose of all the things that are in my mind holding me back. Cut those chains of bondage, Lord, that I seem to be so ready to run back to. Lord, help me to focus my mind and help me to have faith and fortitude to move forward. Lord, help me to realize that there is a greater purpose in this world than just serving myself. Lord, be in the hearts of these people. I believe we don't have an above average church. I believe we've got the greatest church on the planet, and I don't care what people say to me about that. I love this church. And I believe we have a nucleus of people that could reach the world if we decided to. God, help us to see that vision. Help us to not limit ourselves. Help us to come to a limitless God and ask You to help us. Lord, help us always to be ready. Let there never be a time when the Word of God is not on our lips. Let there never be a time that we're not ready in the battle to talk about You. Let there never be a time, Lord, where we aren't realizing how good You are, because You truly are good all the time. Help us realize that this world has nothing to offer us. Help me to realize, Lord, that there's nothing here that's worth holding on to. Help me to realize, Lord, that the only one that we should be looking to is You. Lord, help to clear the waters of my life. Help to clear the waters of my memories and bring me back and let me realize that how bad and tormenting those times were. And help me to realize that back there I was in slavery. But here I am free. God, here I am free. Lord, help me to thank you daily for making me free. Lord, be with us in a special way tonight, and especially in this invitation. And I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. With every head bowed and every eye closed, no one looking around. How many could say, Brother Dave, I know for sure, 100%, that the Lord has taken me out of that past and he's made me a saved person. I know that I'm going to go to heaven when I die. Can you put your hands up real big and tall? You may put them down. How many can say, you know what, Brother Dave, I really don't know. I really don't know. And let me explain something to you, my friend. If you don't know for sure, then I know for sure. You're going to go to hell when you die. And I would not let one person in this room stop you. I would not let your past stop you. I would not let anything in this room stop you from coming forward and getting saved tonight. Because I'm going to be honest with you, every person in here that's saved desires you to be saved. We desire you to have a place in heaven. We don't want you to go to hell. And God doesn't want you to go to hell. He sent his only begotten son to die for you, to keep you out of hell. If you don't know 100% sure that you're going to heaven, and you would like to know, put your hand up for me real big and tall. Is there anyone like that tonight? Don't be embarrassed. I won't come to you. I won't embarrass you. But please, I want to pray for you. There's no reason for you to go to hell tonight. There's no reason for it. That means I'm talking to Christians. And if I'm talking to Christians tonight, I got to believe that somebody other than me in this room has dealt with muddy memories. I got to believe somebody else in this room has dealt with losing their focus, has dealt with losing their fortitude, and dealt with forsaking their faith. I got to believe that there's other folks in here that have stood where I stood. I got to be honest with you. I wouldn't let anybody stop me from getting to this altar tonight if that's me. I'm going to be up here because what's great about the Lord, when he gives me messages because I'm dirty. I'm a rotten, rotten sinner. And he deals with my life, and I'm thrilled about it. I'm thrilled that he's still dealing with my life. That means I have hope. And I got to be honest with you, if he's dealing with you, if you need to get to this altar tonight, I'm going to tell you I'd get to this altar as soon as I could. Dear Lord, I'm begging you to be with these people tonight. I want you to let them know in their hearts how much you love them, how much you care about them, and how desperately you want them to get out. You heard the cry of Israel in Egypt. You heard the cry, and with a mighty hand, you removed them. You heard our cry as sinners. You heard our cry, and you sent your only begotten Son to die for us. Lord, help us not to murmur now. Help us not to wish that we were back in that bondage. Lord, help us to get out of our past and realize that we've got a wonderful, glorious present that we're living in right now, serving you in what I believe is the very last days. Lord, please help us to run to the end. Help us to get out of the mud. Help us to get out of the past. Lord, help us to go forward into a clear water future. And I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Let's everybody stand. Brother Mark, what are you singing tonight? Number 17, the altar is open. Come quickly to do right.
Oh,
I ask myself all the time, why do we want this to end? Why do we want church to end so quickly? Why do we want invitation to go away so fast? I've heard story after story of invitations lasting all through the night because the people in the church house would not be satisfied until they got a hold of God. I've heard time after time after time of people that were uninterested in what the world had to offer, so much so, Brother Mike, that they would not be satisfied until God came down. Why have we become a people that does not care about God coming down anymore? Why have we become a people that as soon as the preaching's done, we want the invitation to be one verse and out? Why do we desire for God to leave when maybe God never came for you? Why do we want to get away from the old time religion where we beg God to come down? Maybe you've got important things to do tonight. But I got to be honest with you. If the rapture were to happen right now, I'd rather be on my knees talking to my Savior when He came. And the way we run invitations in our hearts, I'm not talking about the, hey, listen, you think about this personally. Time after time, week after week, and I don't like it when a preacher forces invitation, don't misread me, but I got to ask you a question. I've got to ask you a question. And I know I'm the associate pastor. I know I'm not the pastor. We've got a pastor. We've got a man of God, and that's Dr. Skyver. And I'll never usurp that. But I've got to ask you a question. As a man of God, I've got to ask you, when is the last time that you had God deal with you? When is the last time that you were thinking more of God than you were of going home on Sunday night? When were you thinking more about how quickly can I get down to these blessed steps? Nobody forces you to come. I'm not going to force you to come. But I would to God you'd be a little bit more sensitive to the leading of the Holy Spirit every once in a while in our lives. I heard a man say to me one time, I'll never forget this. There's only two reasons for going down to the altar. Only two. One is because God spoke to you. And the other is because God didn't. I'm not saying that you've got to go down to the altar every service. I'm not saying that. But what I'm saying is this. Have you ever gone? Are you going to tell me? Are you going to tell me that in this church, God has never moved your heart enough to move your feet to get out of that pulpit, that pew you're sitting in? You're telling me God has never spoken to you enough to have you walk 25 steps up to these steps to deal with God one-on-one. You're telling me that God has never dealt with you in any of these services. He's never been here. And you're sitting in your seats right now thinking, well, I can't go now. He just called me out. There's going to be a day when we can no longer go to the altar. There's going to be a day when the work's all done. I just hope between this day and that day, I have a desire for God to speak to me. I have a desire for God to move in my heart enough that I don't neglect this blessed place. I pray to God in your lives, He becomes very real to you. very, very soon. You have a God that loves you tonight. He loves you. And He desperately wants to hear from you. There's a call waiting. I hope we don't ignore it. Dear Lord, I thank You. Lord, I thank You for everything. Lord, there's so many things. I thank You, Lord, for bringing that young man here today. Lord, I thank You for my pastor being in the right place at the right time. Lord, I'm thankful for the ones that I've heard about winning people in the jail ministry. Lord, I'm so thankful that You've let me take another day of breath. Lord, help me to use it effectively for You. Lord, please let these people know in their hearts that I love them. Lord, I don't want to make them mad. I really don't. But Lord, I want them to think, Lord, why are we here? Do we come to church because it's the right thing to do? Because I got to believe that's a terrible reason to come to church. Lord, help us to get involved in our own personal spirituality. Lord, help us to get involved in what You'd have us to be involved in. Lord, help us to seek You out. Help us to look for You. Lord, I pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen.